lift your voice. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Sing it again and just think what you're singing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Our Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you. Even on this day that we celebrate Father's Day, that you are our good, good Father. We thank you, Lord, that you reminded us this morning of your grace. Lord, we thank you that you reminded us that we are your children. And there's nothing that can separate us from your love. You're good. And as we continue in this service, I pray that you'll be with us. We're going to change pace altogether. But I pray that your Spirit's presence will remain with us. That people will receive that which you have for them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So this morning, I want to speak to you about gifted. And it's totally different to what we've just been through. But I said there's two messages. All right? And that was the Lord. We need to be sensitive. So I'm preaching on gifted. And it was very interesting that Kathy changed those two four blocks on top of the wall there to say, go live and go tell. Beneath that it says, let's take the city. And that's got to do with what I'm about to speak to you about today. I'm trusting it's not echoing in there. Is it? I can hear my voice there, but that's fine. It's just because it's not here. So, we have got a call to be fruitful. If you've got your Bibles here, and I trust you do. If you don't have it, take your phone and go and search the Bible. And use your phone. Don't stay on it, young people, and WhatsApp. I'm glad that for our English people and our American visitors, they couldn't understand what I just said. I said I'd give them a hiding. All right, Psalm 144, verse 12 to 15. This is a scripture that the Lord gave me just before I took over as the pastor of this church, as I was preparing and planning, and I was asking the Lord for vision. It's part of our vision. It's the part of our vision, which the section of our vision which says, we want to be a church that grows and thrives comes from. Psalm 144, verse 12 to 15. May our sons flourish in their youth like well-nurtured plants. May our daughters be like graceful pillars carved to beautify a palace. May our barns be filled with crops of every kind. May the flocks in our fields multiply by the thousands, even tens of thousands. May our oxen be loaded down with produce. May there be no enemy breaking through our walls, no going into captivity, no cries of alarm in our town squares. Yes, joyful are those who live like this. Joyful indeed are those whose God is the Lord. Do you agree with that? Joyful indeed are those whose God is the Lord. Amen. Now this scripture is a scripture written by David. Obviously, these things applied to their agricultural lifestyle, to the lifestyle they had in those days. But I want to turn it to a scripture that we can apply to the church. May our sons, our young people, flourish in their youth like well-nurtured plants. May our daughters be graceful pillars carved to beautify a palace. May our children be good. May they produce good fruit. May they flourish in the church. Amen? But we also need spiritual sons and daughters. We're speaking about that too. May we produce sons and daughters in the Spirit. May our barns be filled with crops of every kind. There's a harvest out here. It's white, ready to be taken. We need to fill. This is the barn. Does that make sense? We need to fill the barn. May our barn be filled with crops of every kind. People from every tongue and tribe and nation. May the flocks in our field multiply by the thousands and even tens of thousands. Now, how audacious could it be of me as a pastor to say, Lord, can we be thousands or even tens of thousands? But that is our prayer. That is part of our vision. This church can become thousands and tens of thousands. We can have multiple services. We can fit them in. If it becomes tens of thousands, we'll have to buy another property. Praise the Lord for that. The Lord will provide for it. Amen. This is a prayer for growth. And may our oxen be loaded down with produce. Who's the oxen? Can I see a show of hands? Who's the ox? You guys. We are. We are the oxen. We are the workers, right? May we be loaded down with produce. What we get out there. Those that we go and harvest. May we bring them in. It's what the Holiday Bible Club is all about. May there be no enemy breaking through our walls. No going into captivity. No cries of alarm in our town squares. Well, we saw it. Squeeze. We saw it this morning. The enemy might try and break in, but we take authority and he gets out. Amen. And may there be no breaking in and damage. May there be no crying in the town. May there not be chaos in the congregation. Does that make sense? Yes, joyful are those who live. Don't you want to live like that, church? Joyful indeed are those whose God is the Lord. It's a wonderful scripture of growth, prosperity, success, protection, and blessing. And church, you can take this. I remind you, it's on your cell phones because I WhatsApped you this on Friday. Psalm 144, verse 12 to 15. Go and take it and pray it over your life. When things go wrong, there's some of you in this house that your employment situation is a disaster. And I'm not saying it's your fault. What I'm saying is it's time it came into order. Call it into order. Use God's word to call it into order. Pray God's word over it. It's time we started seeing. Let me give you, I don't have time for this because I've got a long word, but let me just give you two little examples. Sitting in the church of Annalisa and Milani, I was praying for them. I went to visit Mike, Annalisa's husband, in the hospital. And she was just sharing me a small thing. Mike collapsed. I think it was outside the house or in the street or somewhere. And she couldn't get him up, and she was praying. Just then, there was some kind of ruckus up the road, and the CPF guys came past. And he said, well, what's going on? Yeah, because he thought it was part of the ruckus. But she'd asked, she said, Lord, I can't pick him up. Send me help now. And right there, the CPF guy came. God working. There's another lady, I don't see her here this morning. She was here last week. And I phoned her, and she came to our life group. She's moved in flats just down the road here. She's come, they've moved from Cape Town. She was in the church, and she was praying on when was it? Wednesday. She was praying, saying, Lord, I need a shepherd. I need a pastor. Right after she stopped praying, I phoned her to invite her. There she is. So she's in church this morning. God is moving in our midst. Amen. We are the blessed of the Lord. God is moving. It's not because of me, it's you. God, you are God's people. He loves you. Amen. So just know that. Now, what's that got to do with what I'm speaking about? We need to grow and thrive as a church because that speaks about growing and thriving as a people. But it cannot just happen. Growing and thriving doesn't just happen. That's the problem. We say, Lord, please let it happen. And we sit down and we say, okay, God, why aren't you moving? But it can't happen because we are God's hands and feet. We are God's vessels. He's in us. His Spirit is in us. We are saved. We have been set apart. We've been made free. We've been healed. We had some of that this morning. But there's a reason for that. Not just so God can take us to heaven. Yes, He loves us. And He blesses us because He loves us. But He's got stuff for us to do on this earth. The Word says there are good works prepared in advance. And the work He's called us to do, He's gifted us to be able to do it. And that's what I want to speak to you about this morning. So what you're going to hear this morning is a bit of a Bible school lecture. And I don't know how I'm going to get it right in 20 minutes, but I'm going to have to do it. All right? I've taken the lecture that I do in the Bible school called Analysis of Ministry. So you need to put on your Bible school caps, and you need to sit up very straight
and try not to go to sleep, because sometimes they go to sleep in Bible school. But no, I'm only going to do one session, and this is a summarized version. But I renamed it to Gifted. We need to know that we are gifted so that we know what we are able to do. We need to know that we are gifted so that we can know what God wants us to do. We need to identify our gifts. We need to know that we are gifted so that we won't say, like Moses did, who am I that I can go, and who am I that they will listen to me? If you're gifted, you can go. Here it is, go tell. If you're gifted, you can go and live, and people will look at you and they'll listen to your life. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You guys are going to have to amen this morning, because otherwise I'm going to preach you to sleep, so you're better. All right. God has gifted us an ability to do what we've got to do, and this morning we're going to have a brief overview of the gifts that we have. And why am I doing this? We've got a number of new people in the church. We've got a number of people that have been in the church for years, but you're not active in what you need to be active in. So as a pastor, I need to build you up, I need to equip you, and I need to edify you, encourage you, so you can be who you're meant to be. Can I hear another amen? Amen. All right. So you might say, yeah, but I've been serving the Lord for long, and I know all this stuff. Well, maybe you'll learn something this morning that you don't know. The first thing I want to tell you is that we are all gifted. Ephesians 4, verse 7 to 8 and verse 11. Some of the scriptures are going to be up on the board here. It says, here's that word grace again. Isn't it amazing? Let me first tell you this morning that you've got no gift except by God's grace. You are not God's gift to mankind, all right? Or man's gift. You have got grace. And that's the only reason why you're gifted. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But to each of us, each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Say, God gave me a gift. Say it. God gave me a gift. I'm gifted. Remember that one, because you're going to say it lots this morning. When somebody is good at something, we sometimes speak of them as having a God-gifted talent. Right? And it's the truth. We all have God-gifted ability, but sometimes if I can sing well, I've got a talent. All my talents come from God in any case. I've got a God-gifted talent. You understand the difference? But that's a natural gift. I'm speaking about spiritual gifts this morning. Now, I want you to understand that a spiritual gift is different from the gifts of the Spirit. A spiritual gift is any gift that I have that is supernatural. It comes from God and not from me, not from my own abilities. I'm glad somebody got that. All right. The entire Godhead is involved in giving us gifts. Did you know that? We're going to look at that this morning. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 to 6. A number of scriptures here. I'm sorry, but that's Bible school for you. Oh, just by the way, this is an advert for the Bible school. If you want to know more, come to Bible school. You will be blessed, I promise you. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 46. There are diversities of gifts. In other words, there's lots of gifts, but the same Spirit. Say Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Say Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God. Say God. Who works all in all. Now, there are the three different kinds of gifts given by the three different parts of the Godhead, the triune Godhead. The first one is spiritual gifts. The gifts of the Spirit come from the Holy Spirit. I shouldn't have said spiritual gifts. I should have said the gifts of the Spirit. They come from the Holy Spirit. Then there are ministry gifts. Those gifts come from the same Lord. Who do we call Lord? Jesus. We say Lord Jesus. They come from Jesus. And then there are activities or serving gifts, and they come from the same God. That's our Father. Can you see there's three different kinds of gifts and three different sources? Spiritual gifts, listen to this, allow us to operate in the supernatural. Or shall I say the gifts of the Spirit allow us to operate in the supernatural. So when I speak in tongues, it's not something that I have. It's supernatural. If I pray for somebody and they're healed, it's supernatural. All right? The gifts of the Spirit, sorry, I'm confusing them and I just told you the difference. The gifts of the Spirit will allow you to operate in the supernatural. The supportive gifts, which are the gifts that come from the Father, determine how we serve. In other words, if I'm in the church, how will I serve in the church? And later on you'll understand. And then the ministry gifts, the gifts that come from Jesus, point to what we may become. What we may become. Right. Remember, it is one God. The triune God is one. We serve one God. And He does all the work in us. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 to 11. As each of us has received a gift, minister it. Now, here come some instructions, okay? Minister to one another as good stewards. In other words, I must take good care of the gift that I've been given, and I must minister it. I can't sit down on my hands and do nothing about my gift. I must minister it as a good steward. It's the same thing with your money. You can't just say, oh, thank you, Lord, for money. I will just spend and squander it as I please. You can't. You've got to be a good steward, and then God will bless you. In the same way, you've got to be a good steward of the Word of God, so God can bless you. As the manifold grace of God. Here's that word grace again. We get the gifts of grace. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. That in all things God may glory. It's not for my own glory. That God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. And amen. So, just because I pray for somebody and they get healed doesn't make me fantastic. It makes God fantastic. And I must always point to God. We need to remember that whatever gift we have, it's not because of us that are good. It's because of the manifest grace of God. The gifts are given so that we can minister to one another. If you're sitting in the church and you've got a need, it means somebody in the church has not been doing what they're called to do. Did you hear that, church? If you're sitting in the church and you've got a need, it may well be because somebody else in the church has not been obedient to do what God has called them to do. Can I hear an amen? Because God is speaking to us this morning. The gifts are given so that we can be effective in our ministering. And Acts 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power and you will be my witnesses. So the gifts are given so that we can minister elsewhere as well to the people God is calling in. Amen. Right, now, I'm going to quickly go through the gifts of the Spirit because we know them well and we deal with them on a regular basis. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 8 to 10. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, the word of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge, the word of knowledge. By means of the same Spirit. To another, faith, the gift of faith. By the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, laying hands on people and seeing them healed. By that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. In other words, the ability to work miracles. To another, prophecy. We have prophetic utterances. I want to point out, church, that this is not the same as the fivefold gift of the prophet. It's not the same. Right. To another, distinguishing between spirits. This morning, the minute that thing started making a noise, we knew what it was. We could tell it was a spirit from the devil, and we cast it out of this place. Amen? You get that spirit. It's a part of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you that distinguishing between spirits, in other words, discerning spirit, and the spirit of discernment are two different things. Because God has given us all an ability to discern what is of Him and what's not of Him. Amen? What's right and what's wrong. It's different from the discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits has got to do with spirits. Right. And finally, speaking in different kind of tongues. I want to point out right now, it says different kind of tongues, different kind of languages, and I'm not going to go deeply into it. But when we speak in tongues, you need to understand. There's three different ways in which we get tongues. Number one is the tongue of prophecy. We heard it this morning. There will be an utterance. That tongue needs to be interpreted. If somebody makes an utterance like that in the church, the other gift, the interpretation of tongues, needs to come into action. Then there's another one, right? The other one is, I can praise God. I'm going to just use other fingers, okay? There's a second one. You see, we live in the world, right? The second one is we praise in tongues. When we were praising this morning, did you people in tongues? You praise with your lips. You praise in the Spirit, and the worshippers will worship in spirit and in truth. You praise in the Spirit. And thirdly, we pray in tongues. There's a prayer language of tongues. Do you understand me? There's great confusion because people say, no, if there's not an interpretation, it's not right. It's wrong. There's three different forms of tongues. The first one is when there's an utterance, it needs to be interpreted. The second one, when I praise, it doesn't. It's for my own benefit. And when I pray in tongues, it's for my own benefit. And I speak to the Lord. Does that make sense to you? Amen. All right. Jesus himself operated in the gifts of the Spirit. Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went along. What did he do? This is what he used the gifts for. Doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Why do we receive these gifts? Let me tell you quickly. The gifts are given for the profit of all. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7. They are there to edify, in other words, to build up the church. Are you still with me, church? To uncover the works of darkness, that's discernment, to perform signs and wonders and free the oppressed, to destroy the works of the devil, and Acts 1 verse 8, enabling us to be effective as witnesses. That's why we have the gifts, right? I'm talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And the Bible says we must desire those gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:11, it says, pursue love, which is not a gift, right? It's a fruit. And desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Why prophecy? Because prophesy is the one that will build up the unbeliever, because they'll understand it. They'll come and understand it. Right. And it'll be beneficial because people can understand what you're saying. 1 Corinthians 12:31, but earnestly desire the best gift. Well, if you've been to Bible school, you should know which gift is the best gift. Can anybody tell me which is the best gift? No. My wife gave the answer. Maybe somebody else did. It's the one that's needed at the time. Amen. So if you need to cast out a demon, you need the spirit of discernment. If you need somebody to be healed, that's the best gift. If somebody needs to hear from the Lord and they don't know what to do in a situation, you need the word of knowledge. You understand? The gift that is required is the one that's most important at the time. Right. So they're all intermingled. There's not one that's more important. And all, for all of you that said love, remember what I said? Love is not a gift. So it was a trick question. All right. These gifts are not natural. They are supernatural. And they're received by what? They're received by believing. We need to believe. James 4 verse 2, in the second half of it, I took some poetic license and I used what I wanted to use. You do not have because you don't ask. We need to ask the Lord for the gifts. So this morning, my first question to you is, do you eagerly desire and ask God for the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Are you scared of them? Have you possibly given up on receiving and functioning and flowing the gifts because you see the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit when we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit as tongues, so you don't speak in tongues, so you give up on all the rest? My challenge to you today is, I don't care if you don't speak in tongues. So the Word of God says, not all speak in tongues, not all prophesy. Don't give up on gifts. Now, the second category of gifts are the gifts that Jesus gives, the ministry gifts. Ephesians 4 verse 11, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. I want you to say this with me, just to make sure you're still awake. I'm gifted. Say it louder. I'm gifted. Amen. So the gifts that Jesus gives are ministry gifts. I want you to realize that not everybody is called with a ministry gift. How dare I say that? Well, I'll tell you why I say that. It says, and he himself gave some. Right, are you with me? He gave some. But these gifts are given to the church. Now, that doesn't mean that all of us can't aspire to them and grow into these gifts. But they don't come immediately. So, let's just say it again. What is it? It should be up on the screen. The next one, sweetie. There we go. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. All right. Too many people want to be apostle. If I had enough time, I'd teach you what an apostle is. Can I tell you what an apostle is? It's not Apostle Keith Williams at Christian Ed. I'm pastor. I'm sorry, but I'm pastor. Maybe you can call me pastor teacher. Maybe one day, if the Lord gives me some promotion in the kingdom, I'll be an apostle. But an apostle is somebody who performs signs and wonders. Apostle is somebody who's a leader of leaders. He's a father figure in the church. He's a person that plants churches. Okay? And churches gather around that person. That's an apostle. All right? They work, they function in the fivefold gifting. Does that make sense to you? There's too many people calling them apostle when they're only a pastor. And it's the flesh. It's pride because I need a title. You can call me Pete Pompis if you like. I don't care. I really don't. As long as I do what God called me to do. Why are those fivefold ministry gifts given? And I won't go into it deeply. Number one is for equipping the saints for the work of ministry. You're the saints. These five gifts are platform positions. Okay, they're leadership positions. They're there to equip the saints. They're there to equip the everyday people, everyday believers, the saints. For the work of ministry. So you've got ministry to do. Say, I've got ministry. Not just the pastor's job, okay, or the prophet's job. They're there to edify, to build up the body of Christ. I'm a pastor teacher. I know it in me. My spirit just, I break when you come here and you cry. I break with you. It's the gift of a pastor. It's a shepherd art, right? But it's there to help build you up. Sometimes I also need building up, just by the way. They produce unity of faith and knowledge of God. It's our role to build the body as one. And to grow the body in knowledge of the Lord. And they result, now listen to this, in the effective working, each one doing their share and growing the entire body. Church, what I'm preaching to you this morning, it might not be fire and brimstone, it might not be very exciting, but what I'm doing here this morning is I'm saying, church, it's time that we became effective as Christians and believers. I've got to do it. It can't always be all this exciting stuff. Sometimes you need to just hear the solid word of God being preached and taught. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And if you don't want it here, then come to Bible school. If you don't want it here, then join a home cell. But as long as you don't come to Bible school and don't come to the cells, we will preach it. Because we've got to preach the whole word of God. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. Who's changed their mind about coming to home cell? I'm coming to home cell because I don't want Pastor Keith to take me to Bible school on Sunday morning. Amen. These ministry gifts are, I've said they're a calling, right? If you've got a calling to be a pastor, a calling to be a teacher, a calling. Now, let me tell you even now that there's a position of teacher, like in the Bible school, but there's a position of teacher, like the teacher, that leads the home cell. Are you understanding me? It's a different position, right? You may be called as a teacher to teach the people that you work with. Because I open my mouth and I start to, and you think I'm wrong. Well, we'll see that teacher in the next category of gifts. The gifts that the Father gives are supportive. They're serving gifts. Romans 12, verse 3 to 8. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Let me just stop right there. How does that line up with my interpretation of apostles and prophet and whatever? Prophet is, thus says the Lord. And he prophesies over nations and he prophesies to people. It's not the guy that stands up and interprets the tongue. That's the gift of prophecy. It's very different. Don't think of yourself more highly than what you ought to. Just because I interpreted a tongue doesn't mean I'm a prophet. Means our function in the gift of prophecy. But to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, say, I'm a member. But all the members do not have the same function. Did you hear that, church? We're not all the same. We're all different. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts, we've got gifts, differing, and here's that word again, according to the grace, there it is again, that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Did you hear that? If ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, encourages, to exhortation. He who gives, in giving. With liberality, he who leads, leading. With diligence, he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, these are the gifts of the Father. And I want to tell you right now, and you need to switch on because this is so important to the church. All right? It's important to us. And I don't believe we are functioning properly as a body. Otherwise, I wouldn't be preaching this, okay? The gifts of the Father are key in the body. They're natural gifts. They're spiritual gifts, but they're things that come naturally to us. Earlier on, I said I've got a heart of compassion. So that goes with the shepherd, but it also goes here with this administrative gift from the Father, or supportive gift. Prophecy. This prophecy, it's not prophecy as in I'm a prophet. It's not prophecy as in the gift of prophecy. It's prophecy as the word of God is prophecy. I can expound God's word. I can understand it and tell others what God's word says because it's a form of prophecy. Does that make sense? We've got Bible teachers here, Conrad. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay. Right. It's different. Ministry. We all say, I'm in the ministry. Yay! Because I've now got position. I want to be a deacon. Do you know what a deacon is? A deacon is a hardwerkende mens. It's a person who works. You want to be a deacon? Come, I'll make you a deacon. There's lots of work to be done here. Amen. Oh, everybody wants a deacon because it's a title. It's rubbish. That comes from the pit of hell. Okay? It's based in pride. If you say, I want to be a deacon, you seek a good position. You seek to make a difference in God's people. And you say, I will do whatever it takes. Deacon comes, brings a water here. Got to make sure the toilets are clean before the service. Make sure there's toilet paper there. Picks up the papers outside. Sees there's no gas in the heater. Sometimes the pastor does that too. But that's okay. Because the greatest in the kingdom is a servant of all. Amen. Teaching. Remember what I said. Teaching in the home cell. Teaching in amongst your colleagues. Teaching, just helping in the children's church. It's the ministries of helps. This is what fits in here. Ministry of helps. The worship team fits, yeah, in this category. They support our gifts. They help with bringing the service to where it needs to be. And what a great job they did this morning. They took us right into the Lord's presence. Thank you. Thank you for being sensitive. Thank you for going all out. Sometimes we comment and we criticize. No, we appreciate you guys. Josh, Christy, Corin, where are the rest of you? Just put up there. Even Trigger on the board there, I was hucking him this morning. Anthony. Some of them are teaching in the children's church. Why? Because there's people here that have got the administrative, the supportive gifts that have not put up their hand. So now some of those that are supportive, yeah, are supportive there too. And they do other roles too. Why? Church, ek is 'n pastoor. Sometimes I've got to correct. Sometimes I've got to rebuke. It's because you haven't put up your hand. Oh, Enoch. We're going to have holiday Bible school here. It starts Monday week. God is going to bring in those children. We know it. We're expecting it. We went to the schools this week. Corian and I, we went to different schools. We handed out pamphlets. I had opportunity to speak at town school. There's such excitement. What will happen if we get 150 here on the first day? We're going to be swamped. We need your help, church. Are you with me? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Say, I'm gifted. Amen. So I'm available. Amen. Giving. This is not just about putting money in the offering plate. This is about seeing your brother who's got a need and saying, I know people who give. I know somebody very close to me. They'll give everything they've got. They'll give everything they've got. And I've seen it over years and years, and they've never got lack. It's the most amazing thing. It's a gift of giving. That same person, ask them to go to the hospital and pray for somebody. Because it doesn't come naturally for them. It's not what they're gifted for. These people, yeah, they have a compassion for the sick. Ministry of helps. Administrative gifts. It is so important. Mercy. Kindness. Putting your arm around somebody. Seeing the look on their face when they walk in here in the morning. Say, it's just nie reg nie. Something's not right. Can I pray for you? Is everything okay? Are you with me, church? These things. Let me tell you, if the church wants to function properly, we need to major in these. And now let me tell you which ones come first. Which ones come first when we're born again? These ones. Why? Because they relate to our character. They relate to our personality. Are you with me? You need to be taught what the gifts of the Spirit are. You need to be taught what the fivefold ministry is. You don't know what it is. Some people naturally, they get born again and immediately they start to become evangelists. It's fine. It happens. But on the whole, it takes people time. Are you with me? But this stuff, I don't need to be born again for years. I can be born again today and I can start showing mercy. I can have a gift of leading and I can start saying, well, I'll put up my hand and I'll do something. There's a young man in the church. He's not yet today. He's in the most dire of circumstances, but I see in him an ability to lead. He wants to lead. We've got to just manage it in the right direction. Giving. You can give. Today you can give to somebody. Exhortation, encouragement. I did it here this morning. Not always appropriate for a man to put his arms around a woman, but sometimes you just need to. Right? I don't encourage you to do it where there's no witnesses. If you're going to do it where people are watching. And guys, do it where your wife is present. Because if you're not comfortable doing it when your wife's present, then don't do it. Amen. Same for you ladies, just by the way. Right. My wife's laughing at me. These are the motivational drives that we're born with. They determine who we are. They may be natural, but they're God-given. Right? These gifts. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, the beginning, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Say it with me, I am what I am. So my challenge to you this morning, church, is to be who you are. If you are who you are, stop sitting on your hands. Let me tell you, if I do this, first of all, it hurts. Secondly, it's uncomfortable. Thirdly, you're going to go to sleep in 5 seconds flat. Okay, because I can't preach when I'm doing this. I need to be up and moving around. You can't sit on your hands anymore. We cannot say we're going to take the city and then say, God, give us the city. We've got to go and take it. We cannot be the Jesus that nobody else will see unless we become the Jesus that nobody else sees. So what gift is God giving you? Go to the next slide, sweetie. Kom nou, Poppy, vinnig. The machine is now probably giving her grief. No, there's another one. There's one that... look, she got behind, eh? There we go. There they all are. The gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Son, and the gifts of the Father. What has the Lord called you to? You can function in multiple. You can function across them. Tongues, interpreted. I can say the Lord in many ways has used me, or maybe some of you, in all of those at one time or another. Gail, if you want it, I'll email it to you. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, prophet. Who has the Lord called you into ministry? I've spoken to Reverend Joey many times. I said, why are none of our youngsters becoming missionaries? We've got missions, a family, young family that's come from America. We need to start sending them there. Amen. It's a nation that needs the Lord. So does our nation. Has the Lord spoken to you about that? I've got no time. I've run out of time. The supportive gifts. All of us have them. All we need to do is step out in boldness. Get over our shyness and say, I'll do this. If we can do that, church, we can become the church that God has called us to be. That is why I wanted to teach you this morning. So yes, you might have said, yeah, but I know this stuff. Well, now you know it again. And now you've been reminded of it. I want you to stand with me this morning. Thank you, sweetie. God has given us all a gift. We need to identify, to verify, to use and develop those things. We need to practice them. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 to 21. Yeah? Paul, the great encourager, is encouraging young Timothy. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, cleanse yourself from sitting on your hands, church. He will be a vessel of honor. Say, I want to be a vessel of honor. I'm gifted. Sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. We are all called to be vessels of honor. And I close with this encouragement from Timothy, Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, verse 6-7. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. Stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. If we're going to take the city, church, we need to ask the Lord to stir up the gift of God that is in us. And we need to start functioning in these gifts. I will put this presentation on our website. Where will you find it? On Google. Christian Heritage Church, Krugersdorp. And you will find it under sermons, April to June. Okay, you'll find it there. You'll also find my notes.